After last week's personal trip to the U.S., Vice President-elect Shelby Kim is now in Europe. Though the itinerary of her visit has not been made public, on Monday, she was in the Czech Republic.
There she met with the president of the Czech Senate, Miloš Vystrčil, who posted a photo with Shao on social media. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs says Shao visited Czechia to speak at a seminar held by Synopsis, a Prague-based think tank. The visit also allowed her to meet with friends in the country before her inauguration as vice president. Amid the warming of Taiwan-Europe ties, DPP lawmakers have praised Shao's stop in the continent, saying it can deepen exchanges with the Democratic partners before May 20th. The largest smart city expo in Asia has opened its doors at Taipei's Nangang Exhibition Center.
This year, the expo has 2,200 stands showcasing the latest innovations. Some of the exhibits by Taiwanese companies include a multi-function EV charging port and a comprehensive bus information system.
目前在新义区执勤的电动巴士有哪些？
Ask a question and the answer pops up in less than a second. This is part of a comprehensive smart bus system that harnesses the power of generative artificial intelligence and could launch later this year. The Model T electric bus has a wide-angle panoramic system to prevent traffic accidents. The bus can connect with an app to request stops and incorporates displays to keep drivers informed of traffic conditions. Another highlight at the expo was this. It's this charging station. Its manufacturer is aiming for the system to hit the market before the end of the year to make EV chargers more widely available. It's a 3-in-1 charging station. You can use it to make payments, obtain parking tickets, and charge your vehicle. All these inventions were on show at the 2024 Smart City Summit and Expo. Besides AI, green financing was a major topic at the event.
A major topic at this year's Expo is green financing. The most important financial ventures in Taiwan are taking part in the event. The day after tomorrow, we will specially host a forum related to the global carbon trading market. Just by using smart technology, we can increase the effectiveness of our transition to net zero carbon emissions by at least 60%.
The four-day expo will take place concurrently in Taipei and Kaohsiung. The event has 2,200 stands this year, an increase of 13% from last year's edition.
Over the past 3 months, the Criminal Investigation Bureau has taken down over 6,000 instances of investment fraud adverts claiming to be endorsed by Taiwanese influencer Chen Yanchang, known on the internet as Mr. 486. That has given Chen the dubious honor of being the most popular choice for impersonator scams.
Joining him in the top five most impersonated people is a group of financial analysts, including Li Yongnian at number four. Li says he's reported the scam adverts on multiple occasions and urges the general public to not accept friendship requests or group invitations from strangers on social media. Let's hear from him.
They use my name to commit fraud. The largest amount I heard was 120 million NT. I'm always warning against frauds on YouTube and everywhere else. There's about three or four impersonation scams every day. It's truly a helpless situation. Legitimate analysts do not take money from people to invest in stocks. We don't accept money from people, and we don't trade on behalf of people. In almost 90% of frauds, the scammers ask you to wire money to an account they own.
6 months ago, financial expert Xie Jinghe produced a public service announcement on the matter in collaboration with the police. Despite that, more scams have continued to emerge pretending to be him. The CIB reminds the general public that all scammers want is money, and to be wary whenever anyone asks for wire transfers. If in doubt, call the 165 hotline to avoid losing your money. A Navy Friendship Flotilla is on an island-wide tour of Taiwan. And today and tomorrow, the fleet will be docked at Penghu's Observatory Island.
Both this strategically located island and Navy ships are not usually open to the public, so today's event attracted a large crowd. Among the attendees were excited children, interested onlookers, and even two centenarian naval officers.
A fleet of Navy ships is stopping at different locations around Taiwan. And today, the Friendship Flotilla visited Observatory Island under the jurisdiction of Ma Kong Naval Base. Attending the event was a large group of people, including children that were very excited to see enormous naval vessels. Of all the spots the Friendship fleet is visiting on its trip around all of Taiwan, Observatory Island is the closest location to the median line of the Taiwan Strait. Not usually open to the public, the base welcomed a crowd of people who took advantage of the rare opportunity to step onto the island.
Observatory Island used to be an actual island, but later on during the Japanese colonial period, it was connected to Penghu's coast. It became an important island for the Navy during the Japanese colonial period. Under the governance of the ROC, the island kept being used to guard the Taiwan Strait. It's a really important naval base.
The guest list included two centenarians, who were originally members of the communication brigade at a Navy shipyard in Penghu. It's been several decades since these two men last worked together, and so the two were very happy to see each other again. On site were a host of vendors from different branches of the military, which were looking to find future talent at the event. But not every vendor was military-based, as a small truck selling snacks surreptitiously showed up at the event.
The visitors who came here might feel a bit hungry after walking around for a while, so they might buy a little something to eat.
The public was able to step onto a warship and see active-duty weapons up close. Visitors were treated to a visual feast as they witnessed how Taiwan is developing in terms of its military's advanced weapons, the Defense Ministry's defense autonomy, and the nation's art and culture.
Today we take you to a Taipei restaurant that serves up delicacies from different countries.
From March to May, diners can enjoy 8 Chilean dishes. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang finds out more.
For its first Culinary Food Month event of 2024, this restaurant has prepared 8 Chilean dishes.
First up is tortilla de penne, also known as Chilean pasta and sausage omelet. In Spain, people use eggs and potatoes to make omelets, while in Chile, they add noodles and vegetables.
Like a Spanish-style tortilla made by potato, but in Chile, they mix with like a penne, the pasta, Italian pasta penne, with egg and other ingredients, which is very delicious as well.
There's also a traditional Mapuche farmhouse stew. This dish was inspired by the Mapuche, a group of indigenous inhabitants of south-central Chile and southwestern Argentina.
Mapuche is a name of the indigenous people, Mapuches, and they have a stew in their daily life mixed with sausage and vegetables. And this is quite unique of Chilean. And another dish is their barbecue, because Chilean, they will enjoy the weekend with their family in park, in Riverside, to have barbecue together.
Chilean cuisine is mainly derived from traditional Spanish cuisine, but it's shaped by local indigenous culture, local ingredients in Chile, and other European cuisines. Chile is also home to many agricultural products, whose diverse flavors make its traditional cuisine famous.
I would highly recommend the pastel de choclo, even though they are all amazing dishes. Pastel de choclo is very traditional for Chileans, and it's something that we always like to have on our tables, particularly during the weekends when we meet with the families. And of course, the empanadas, which are not only from Chile, they are from all of Latin America. We have different variation of empanadas. Bilateral trade between Chile and Taiwan is very stable. It has been very stable over the past decade, I would say. We are the largest exporter of salmon, frozen salmon, to Taiwan, as well as one of the key exporters of giant squid, king crab, abalone.
This restaurant in Taipei is offering a 3-month culinary event featuring chili. Camilo Chang founded the restaurant in 2015. In 2021, he began partnering with embassies of Taiwan's Caribbean allies to serve up authentic dishes to help locals better understand the nation's allies. He later also expanded to include countries from South America.
My undergraduate major is Spanish, and my professor is Chilean. He's also a father. And he's going back to Chile in this year, so I want to do something special for him. And I asked him, is there any dishes I can make, Chilean dishes I can make in my restaurant? And he gave me lots of information, so to remember him and trying to publish Chilean culture, so we have this Chilean food season.
The restaurant's culinary months have featured dishes from countries including St. Kitts and Nevis, Belize, Haiti, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and St. Lucia. Now, the restaurant will serve up Chilean cuisine till the end of May. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Li Yihan in Taipei.
NVIDIA is back in black. Jensen Huang, the CEO of the AI chip behemoth, just announced a new platform called Blackwell.
TSMC lent a helping hand by making a customized 4-nanometer chip for the new powerful product, which is expected to dominate the market for at least the next 2 years.
Wearing his customary black leather jacket, Jensen Huang was up on stage at the semi-annual NVIDIA GTC conference. In his hand was a product that is primed to be a game changer in the industry.
This is Hopper. Hopper changed the world. This is Blackwell.
Huang pointed out that Blackwell isn't a chip, as it's actually the name of a new platform.
That the two dies think it's one chip. There's 10 terabytes of data between it, 10 terabytes per second. So that these two sides of the Blackwell chip have no clue which side they're on.
Blackwell is made of 208 billion transistors, which is 2 times more than anything else currently on the market. The new NVIDIA product uses 4-nanometer chips custom designed by TSMC. With its trillion parameter GPU computing power, the platform can train AI and large language models 30 times faster than NVIDIA's H100 Hopper. That's not all. Blackwell accomplishes these feats at up to 25 times less cost and energy consumption than previous chips. One expert predicts that in the next 2 years, no competitors will be able to release a product with similar capabilities. NVIDIA's primary partners, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, and Tesla, will all use the new Blackwell chip platform.
I think what's driving markets mostly today has to be both the news from Apple and Alphabet with regards to their potential Gemini partnership across the whole suite of Apple devices, as well as the NVIDIA conference where we're seeing the release of the B100 chip.
Foreign media outlets have reported that Apple is currently in talks to license Google's AI model Gemini for use in the next generation of iPhone. AI fervor is driving the U.S. stock market with a Dow up 0.2%, NASDAQ closing up at 0.82%, and the S&P 500 rising 0.63%. Only the Philly Semiconductor Index experienced a small drop of 0.1 points.
An AI musician has played a suite alongside a live orchestra of real musicians. The concert was a first for Taiwanese AI composition and musicality.
Although artificial intelligence is a long way from surpassing the skill of human musicians, many music experts are excited about the possibilities AI could open up in the field.
The Taiwan AI Suite is a new work for symphony orchestra composed by artificial intelligence. The virtual composer plays along on a double bass with the classical musicians. Unlike past AI compositions, which were pre-recorded, this performance was much more difficult, as it required the AI to play along with real musicians in real time.
It needs to have a very fast response time, just like when two musicians play together and have a rapport, just as fast as that.
The performance combined technology from Academia Sinica with humans and AI players. It's a dream come true for the developers. But in the foreseeable future, AI is nowhere near replacing real musicians.
In principle, AI is a tool. We should be able to use it well to help humanity to progress and develop in the future. It's a very important partner. I think AI will gradually make progress on the details. Then it can assist musicians to make various different developments. It's the same in many ways, that a technological development allows artists to have more possibilities.
Musicians are working with the music industry and academia to supply large amounts of data about classical music in Taiwan to enable AI to create musical styles that have a Taiwanese quality. The maturity of AI musical style is enough to astonish many audiences.
The all-boys Cheng Gong High School in Taipei is set to get its first female principal. The woman in question is Liu Jingjing, who is currently the principal at Zhonglun High School. The matter was decided at a meeting by the Taipei Department of Education on Monday after Chen Gong High School's current principal announced his retirement.
Since its founding 102 years ago, the school has only had male principals. Let's hear from Liu.
I was an English teacher at Chen Gong High School for 20 years. I'm very happy to have this opportunity to go back and to turn Chen Gong High School into an excellent school together with my colleagues. As for whether being a woman will pose any challenges, I didn't face any troubles as a teacher, so I think I won't face too many challenges as principal. I think what's most important for a principal is to be able to form good relationships with students, regardless of whether the principal is a man or a woman.
Liu says the work of being principal is not any different for men or women. She'll begin her principal duties at Chen Gong High School this August. The Shanbian Mazu and the Baishatun Gongtian Mazu have departed from Dajia's Zhenlan Temple after a historic meeting with the local Mazu.
The last sighting of the three Mazus together was 18 years ago. On Tuesday, thousands of worshippers rushed to Dajia to bid the visiting Mazus farewell, asking them for a blessing.
The Shanbian Mazu and the Mazu from the Baishatun Gongtian Temple are ready in the palanquin. Its bearers warm up for the procession. The Mazu from Dajia's Zhenlan Temple had hosted the two other Mazus overnight, and after 15 hours together, it was time to say goodbye.
We shouldn't spread the visits out so much. You should come often. If possible, we should do this every year.
18 years on from their last visit, the Shanbian and Baishatun Gongtian Mazus came back to Dajia Zhenlan Temple for the third time ever. Before their departure, the two temples involved agreed to organize another visit in the near future.
It so happens that Dajia is going to have a ritual this year, so of course the Baishatun Mazu will attend the festival.
Worshippers bid farewell to the pink palanquin leaving Dajia. Tens of thousands of followers lined the streets to see it off and witness the final moments of the historic meeting between the three Mazus. Tuesday was the second day of the Baishatun Gongtian Mazu's travels, and it was a rainy and windy one. Worshippers braved the elements to see her and her companion. Thankfully, stands with warm food were to be found along the way. Snacks and piping hot ginger tea were supplied throughout the parade to keep thousands upon thousands of worshippers warm on their way. At Qing Shui District, a snack stand that had opened on Monday had to deploy more than a dozen additional volunteers after finding out that the two visiting Mazus would spend the night at Dajia. The stand distributed snacks for free for a whole 2 days.
We ran out of goods yesterday. We had to rush to find more things this morning to keep the stand running.
Despite the cold and wet day, worshippers lie prostrate on the ground to get a blessing from the Mazus as a palanquin passes overhead. Among them was a bachelor who made a sign asking the goddesses to help him find a partner.
I hope that the Baishatun Mazu can bless me. I received a message from a potential suitor yesterday. We haven't met in person, but we added each other online.
The Baishatun Mazu continues heading south with the Shanbian Mazu. No matter wind or rain, their worshippers' enthusiasm accompanies them on their travels.
The 2024 Zuzihu Calla Lily and Hydrangea Festival has made its annual return.
Due to warmer weather this year, calla lilies have already begun to bloom. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang takes us there for an inside look.
Season has kicked off. We're currently at a calla lily field in Zuzihu. The theme of this year's festival is childhood memories.
This year's festival features 10 farms. The farms have designed a variety of installations that people can snap photos of. Many people have come to catch a glimpse of beautiful blossoms and take pictures of fine-looking flowers.
The background is very beautiful. There are calla lilies in the front and mountains and Xiaoyokeng in the background. It all looks very nice when photographed. When you come here, you can escape from the reality of your work life and instead relax and have afternoon tea. The theme this year is childhood, which is something that's full of fun memories. I designed a big school bag. In addition, there are desks, chairs, and a cute frog hat. You can take photos of them.
At this calla lily field in Zuzihu, you can change in this outfit
and learn how to pick calla lilies. Mr. Liu, can you please tell us the first step?
Okay. 那么摘到这个喜欢的花的时候呢，顺反手摘花，顺着花茎下去。
Visitors can also get a lesson from the owner to learn the basics of how to safely and correctly pick calla lilies. After finding the flower you want to pick, lunge with 1 foot forward and then slowly reach towards the bottom of the flower stem.Lastly, gently pull the flower out.
下水田之后呢，第一个目标就是先找到。
After entering the field, the first goal is to find the water channel and slowly enter the field. Once you're standing firm, move forward and you should walk in a straight line. You need to pick flowers backwards. Reach to the bottom, lunge and pull it up. This year, the flowers bloomed 2 weeks earlier, so take advantage of this season to come. Around late March or early April will be the best time.
After picking calla lilies in the fields, you can come inside and take a flower arrangement class.
Visitors can pick their own calla lilies and participate in a DIY calla lily bouquet lesson. This lesson was designed by Ruby Liu.
After about 20 minutes, you can bring the bouquet home with you.
We decided on a macaron color scheme for people to experience putting together a bouquet. They can bring home a very colorful bouquet.
The 2024 Duzihu Calla Lily and Hydrangea Festival will be held till April 28th. During the festival, there will be guided tours and vendors that sell cotton candy and coffee. The calla lilies are expected to bloom until late April. The Taipei City government encourages visitors to take public transit to the venue. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Yang Kai in Taipei.